The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Well, we know what Marcus Spears is going to be watching tonight. First, it's the SEC basketball game of the night featuring Kentucky and Swagoo's beloved LSU Tigers. Our coverage begins at 7 Eastern on ESPN and the app. And then immediately following that game, it's Swagoo's former LSU football team taking on the Kansas State in the TaxAct Texas Bowl. Our coverage starts tonight at 9 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Gotta like that if you're an LSU fan. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, Peyton Manning, he continued name-dropping during the Manning cast last night. Check this out.
Never experienced that with Jeff Saturday, the most automatic shotgun snaps of all time, just right there in your breadbasket. I had to give Jeff a little love, Eli. I was pretty rough on him a couple episodes ago, so trying to give him a little love.
It's an apology from Peyton Manning. Jeff, what do you say?
It's not an apology.
Too late, dog. Too late, bro.
It wasn't an apology.
Nah, bro. He's already been severed. Already been severed. You can't go 0-15, win one game, and think you keep your job. It don't work that way. Not in this world.
And
He never
apologized either. That was a black
right,
apology. Then
you
is
tell
what
him.
That was. It's like you don't say you're sorry. You just say,
"Hey, Jeff,
let me
Jeff.
Hit you up a plate."
Jeff, are y'all really friends? Are y'all friends?
It's the classic Peyton Manning apology.
No,
that's what that was.
I just told you, Swagoo. No, we're done. Oh,
all right, guys.
Can't do it. It don't work that way.
Jeff Saturday is still fired up.
Too much.
So while Jeff is ranting, I'm just
going to
welcome everybody back in to Get Up. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And we say farewell to Pittsburgh. Big Ben getting emotional after winning possibly his last game at Heinz Field. We're going to have all the highlights. And then there are the lowlights. Baker Mayfield awful on Monday night. Is it time for Cleveland to send its former top pick packing? And disappointment in Dallas. Are the Cowboys headed towards a quick out in the playoffs? Our analysts are weighing in as we say get up. And we take you right to the game of the night. Steelers, Browns. What a moment for Big Ben running out possibly for the final time at Heinz Field in his career. Thank you, Seven, say the fans. And he gave them a performance, an emotional one after the game. Second quarter, 3rd and 10. Roethlisberger to Chase Claypool, brought down, but he's missing something. What is it? What was that thrown? His shoe. Jadeveon Clowney called for unsportsmanlike conduct, keeping the Steelers' drive alive for throwing that shoe. Later in the drive, 1st and goal. Roethlisberger dropping back, finding Deontay Johnson for the touchdown. 257th of his career, Steelers up 7-0. Later in the second quarter, same score. Baker Mayfield drops back and throws it to Akello Witherspoon for the Steelers. Not good, Baker. Steelers will go up 10-0, take that into the half. Third quarter, same score. Najee Harris gets the handoff and he rumbles. And watch that. Boom! Big stiff arm right there. 30-yard gain before being brought down. Watch it again. Oh, that's power. Steelers would go on to kick a field goal, go up 13-0. Later, Baker to David Njoku. Makes the catch for the touchdown. Browns in it, cutting the lead 13-7. Steelers up 19-7 in the fourth. And watch T.J. Watt. Taking down Baker for the fourth time in the game, 21 and a half on the season. One down from the record. Big Ben likes what he sees. But later in the drive, Baker drops back and throws it to Harrison Bryant for the touchdown. Browns cut the lead to 5, so Ben says, let's get it done. Failed onside kick. He comes back on the field. Family cheering him on. The handoff. They need a first down, and Harris gets it, and then some. Rumbles all the way to the end zone for the touchdown. Big Ben celebrates as they go up 26-14. Gets a hug from Mike Tomlin, but you think that's it for him on the field? No. Baker throws an interception. So Big Ben gets a chance to take one last knee on Heinz Field. And what follows is emotion. Overwhelmed as the game comes to an end, The fans showing love for Ben. He's showing love back for them. Sits on the bench, taking it all in a little bit, giving him high fives. I mean, what a moment this is for someone who has done so much for Pittsburgh and that team. There's his family giving him hugs. And then that is the classic scene right there. The walk-off, possibly for the last time on Hines. Here he is after the game.
I didn't think I was going to take the field again, but it's the best play in football when you're an offensive player is to take a knee. And so I'm glad I got to do it one last time.
One last time. How do you leave this place, Ben?
I don't know. With a win. So thankful and blessed to be able to call this place home for almost half my life. In front of these fans and seeing all the signs, and there's no place like it.
What a moment for him and those fans. And so the Steelers, by the way, stay alive for one of the remaining two AFC playoff spots. But they'll need to win in Baltimore on Sunday, along with the Jaguars upsetting the Colts. Plus, the Chargers-Raiders game can't end in a tie. So a lot that has to happen for them to make it in. Let's welcome in our team. Dan Graziano, Dominique Foxworth, Jeff Saturday, Marcus Spears, ready to go. Dan, let's talk about where the Steelers go from here. What potential options would they have? And actually, Dan's having some issues there. We'll come back to him in a second. So you know what, Marcus, I'll start with you. What do you see for this team in the future in terms of quarterback for these Pittsburgh Steelers?
Ryan, that's the million-dollar question. Do they go out and try to get one of these veterans to be a part of what we, you know to be a good defense and a great foundation in Pittsburgh? How alluring will it be to potential free agents or guys that may want to get out? Russell Wilson comes to mind. Aaron Rodgers, that's been floated around. I don't know how interested those guys are. I know they haven't done a really good job of managing what's after Big Ben. Obviously, they had they brought in Dwayne Haskins and tried to see how he would fit in that vein. But when you look at the landscape of the league right now, it's really not that many guys that you can say, okay, come and pick this thing up and make us a better football team. Look, I know we celebrating Big Ben, but we knew Ben was over the hill. We knew Ben would do a few things this season that would be good and would remind us of the physicality, the toughness, make some throws, allow his playmakers to go up and make plays. But the Steelers have to this course correction is here now, and they got to figure out how to move forward with a quarterback. If I was them, I would go after a potential free agent, somebody that's done it at a high level, or even try to lure a guy from a place that he might not want to be in order to make us contenders right away. Because I do believe that if these offensive line issues get fixed, the Steelers will be right back in the conversation that we've grown so accustomed to them being in.
Yeah, it's a big if, though, for that line. Now, Neek, what do you think they do at quarterback? You saw the options there from Jameis Winston to others. What should they do?
I think that if is very, very big, because you're trying to attract a quarterback, you need to be able to protect him. I think New Orleans is an attractive destination for somewhere like Russell Wilson, which may free up Jameis Winston to go to Pittsburgh. So I think Jameis Winston might be the most attractive option on that list. But Kevin Colbert's been a really effective GM there. But I think this is going to fall a lot on who they can, if Mike Tomlin can use whatever cachet and relationships he has. He's one of the most respected and liked coaches across the league. Like, he's going to have to get involved and convince one of these quarterbacks to come play there, because I'm not sure that guys like Russell Wilson, who's complained about the protection he's gotten over his career, is going to want to go there. Deshaun Watson is a similar issue in Houston, has never been protected and may not want to go to another situation where he may not get protected. So I'm thinking Jameis Winston might be the best person who's going to become available after the season is over.
Yeah, Graz, it could be an interesting fit, but when you think about it, you're replacing a legend in Pittsburgh. I wonder how that impacts what they do next, because this is a team that looks at their squad, their current squad, as one that could possibly make a Super Bowl run at some point.
Mm-mm. Right, and that's why they brought Ben Roethlisberger back this year. They felt like he gave them the best chance because he had been there. Look, it looks like it was probably 1 year too many. I mean, Jadeveon Clowney got more air yards on the shoe throw than I think Ben got on most of his last night. So it looked like it was probably they went too far with Ben. But you want to hold it off as long as you can, right? You don't want to go into that quarterback wilderness where you don't know what your answer is. And Pittsburgh knows that that's what awaits them. So can they get an Aaron Rodgers, a Russell Wilson, a Deshaun Watson? Or do they have to think about maybe a secondary veteran option that might shake loose, like a Jimmy Garoppolo or a Kirk Cousins or Jameis Winston? So that's where they are. The draft doesn't look like it's going to produce the immediate answer for them. Maybe a long-term one, but not for sure. So this is the big question among several that they have in terms of putting this roster back together this offseason.
Well, one thing's for sure, if he does hang it up after this, there will never be another quarterback quite like Big Ben. He was unique indeed on the field. Now, on the other side of the field yesterday, Baker Mayfield, had an awful game. He talked to the media afterwards, addressing his health.
It's not going to always be pretty or smooth, but I'm a fighter. If anybody ever questions how much I want it, just turn on this tape. I've continued to lay it out on the line when I haven't been healthy. Tried to fight for our guys. Right now, I'm pretty damn beat up, to be honest with you. There's no way around it. I gave it everything I had tonight.
Okay, so Jeff, he says he wants it, especially for his team, but should the Browns want him for their future at quarterback?
Well, they're not going to have a choice. I mean, they're on the hook for almost $19 million and guaranteed. So he's going to be there unless they can lure in the same guys that we just mentioned about Pittsburgh. Can you get a Russell Wilson? Can you get a Deshaun Watson? Can you get an Aaron Rodgers? Those type of conversations have to be had. And when you think about when I think about Cleveland, even if I compared him to Pittsburgh, I would say if I'm a free agent, I'd probably would rather be in Cleveland than I would in Pittsburgh. And honestly, with the offensive line situation, with what you could possibly do, again, it's all going to be, and I thought Dominique's point about the Steelers, Coach Tomlin's going to be a huge asset to that. But with Baker Mayfield, you kind of got to stay with the guy. Unless you can upgrade right now, stick with him. He's been up and down, but he has won playoff games. He has taken you there, and he was injured since week two. So there are a lot of, quote, excuses/reasons why they've been as bad as they have been. Maybe you give him one more run at it with that money and maybe sign him to a longer-term deal that's smaller in money that could benefit you in other areas of your football team.
And you bring up a good point. He has won playoff games. But, Swagoo, here's the thing. When we started the season, this was supposed to be, if not the most talented team in the AFC, one of the most talented teams. Can he make them into a Super Bowl contender if Baker Mayfield is starting at quarterback?
Baker Mayfield will not make the Cleveland Browns a Super Bowl contender. The things around Baker Mayfield were what we thought would make the Cleveland Browns a Super Bowl contender.
Right.
Don't get it twisted. Nobody came into this season thinking Baker Mayfield was going to be in the MVP conversation. Nobody thought that he was going to be a 35, 40 touchdown guy. That was not what we thought. What I thought, because I had Cleveland as a dark horse Super Bowl contender. I thought Myles Garrett, who showed up this year, is in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation, would do what Myles Garrett has done. I thought this defense would be a calling card for the Cleveland Browns. They've let the Cleveland Browns down, too, as well. Like, it's easy for me to pile on Baker. Y'all know how I feel about Baker. I think Baker is a very average quarterback. I hope that I'm not ruffling feathers or breaking any. I think he's just an average quarterback that you can kind of sustain with. Not somebody that's going to really push you over the top. He'll have his moments where everybody, where all of the Baker fans will tweet me and text me and talk about, yeah, I told you so. But we in year five and we still don't know if he's the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. That should tell you what you need to know. The rest of this team, though, failed Baker a lot. Last night, 9 sacks was on this offensive line. Like, we could talk about Baker holding the ball or whatever, and I know what T.J. Watt is, but the dude got sacked 9 times. Most quarterbacks ain't going to win in that situation. So it's a lot of things that transpired. I'm not going to talk about Baker Mayfield no more as far as having venom or vitriol. I think Baker Mayfield, Marcus Spears, the dude that y'all call Swagoo, thinks Baker Mayfield is a very average quarterback that will not lead a team to a Super Bowl. He can be a part of a team, potentially, that goes to a Super Bowl. But he can't do it turning the ball over.
Dominique Foxworth
there you have it. Well, coming up, speaking of Super Bowl contenders, we're talking Tampa. Specifically, Antonio Brown. Has he played his last game in the NFL? Would another team actually sign him after this? You may be surprised to hear the answer to that. And more timeout trouble for Mike McCarthy. Is the Cowboys' biggest issue their head coach? We got that question answered when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with you on Get Up, and let's run the hurry up with Dan Graziano. Dan, let's start with Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry hasn't played since week 8, broke a bone in that foot. The Titans have discussed opening his practice window, his 21-day practice window that would allow them to activate him from injured reserve. He could be on the practice field potentially this week. Wouldn't mean he'd play this week, but he could be back in time for their first playoff game. David Bakhtiari, left tackle of the Green Bay Packers, has a chance to practice this week as well. Hasn't played all year. This is about the time last year when they lost him to that torn ACL. They've been hoping for a while he'd be able to come back. He would be a big boost to them as they begin their playoff run. They would like to get Bakhtiari out there for a few snaps this week to knock some rust off before their week one bye in the playoffs. So look out for that too. You will not see Antonio Brown on the practice field this week after his remarkable exit from Sunday's game against the Jets at MetLife Stadium. The Buccaneers did not release Brown officially yesterday. Look for them to do that by 4 o'clock today. If they don't do it by 4 o'clock today, they got to pay a salary for this week. I don't think they want to do that.
Okay, we'll see how that all plays out. And speaking of Antonio Brown, his former head coach Bruce Arians was asked if he had any regrets about that situation. Take a listen.
No, I have no regrets. I just hope the best for him. Very hard. And I wish him well. I hope if he needs help, get some. And it's very hard because I do care about him. I care about him a bunch. I hope that he's okay.
Okay, so that's where we stand there. Let's welcome everybody back in and bring in Mike Tannenbaum. And by the way, as you just mentioned, we have an actual real law firm here, the law firm of Tannenbaum and Smith. I like that. Mike, I wanted to bring you in because you had some very interesting thoughts about Antonio Brown. When we talked pre-show, could you see Antonio Brown getting another shot in the NFL?
I could. And first of all, Ryan, this is a really sad situation, and hopefully he gets the help that he needs. With that said, I could see a team like the Dallas Cowboys bringing him and talking to him and maybe not even signing him initially, but if they go through the process, they simply could sign him to a one-day contract and say, hey, if today's practice goes well, you could come back tomorrow. And putting in an infrastructure where he's getting the help that he needs and then helping them, obviously, on the field, given what just happened with Michael Gallup. So while it's not likely, it could happen. And in this day and age, Ryan, of COVID and everyone looking at this from a week-to-week standpoint, you simply could say, hey, we're going to stand shoulder-to-shoulder, Antonio, and your NFL career, if there is one, is on life support. So if you practice well today, you're going to come back tomorrow.
Okay. I need a minute to digest that. And I think Neek does too, because he's doing the hand on his head thing. Weigh in, my friend.
It's rough. So my friend texted me a couple weeks ago and said, do you not like Mike Tannenbaum? Because every time he's on, you yell at him. I love Mike T. But Mike T says things that deserve to get yelled about. Like, you think that you're going to lay down this rational argument to AB, like, if you practice good today, you can come back tomorrow, that somehow that's going to help. I do not think the value that he provides on the field comes anywhere close to the potential of the disruption that he provides, that he creates for your team. I don't see AB getting another job, but I guess you are a GM. You know GMs. You know how they think. I can't imagine anyone who watched this take place and compare it with AB's history, because having a sideline outburst, okay, that's fine, it happens. But pairing it with all of AB's history, I can't imagine being a general manager and going to the owner of the team and saying, yes, let's write some checks with the name Antonio Brown on it. No thanks.
So what I would say, yeah, what I would say that is, I would, the process I would have is, and I understand from a, what Neek's saying, like there's obviously massive concerns. I have all the same, but I would sit down with the player leadership, the Dak Prescott's of the world, and say, hey, why don't you sit down with him? Let's take your temperature on it. You're not the GM, Dak, but we want to get your feedback. And player-led leadership is always the most effective. And say, if we were going to consider it, you know, what would be the circumstance? What would be the conditions for this to work? Because if it does work, it could be the difference between us winning a championship and not. And if the risk
Mike
is
T,
low,
they already did this, though.
Like signing him to one day.
Multiple times.
They already did this, man.
I would not put my quarterback in the same room as that.
Tom Brady already did this, bro. Like, what you saying for Dak to do, Brady done it twice. He did it in New England, and he did it in Tampa. And it manifested into a Super Bowl year one. Listen, here's the other thing, too. And Mike T, you know you're my guy. Here's the thing for me with AB, man. Like, it's funny. I'm listening to the conversations. This is a grown-ass man we talking about that understands. Look, here's the thing. All right, AB may have some mental issues. But I'm not going to sit here and act like AB don't know what the hell he was doing. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing in Vegas when he was celebrating getting out of there. He knew what he was doing on this situation on the sideline. So, look, AB, this is AB. This is who he is. And if he needs help, we've said it 1,000 times, go get it. But from a football standpoint, I got to jump on Neek's side and say this is who this guy is. And I'm on record for saying believe people when they tell you who they are. So I'm going to believe Antonio Brown in this situation.
Hang on. I want to get Jeff in here real quick. Go ahead, Jeff.
Let me say this. Yeah. With Mike T, I totally respect what he's saying. I've been on those player-led leadership committees. I would not sign off on signing Antonio Brown. I'm going to tell you, if this dude can do, you know, topless jumping jacks, as Dominique said in the first time we talked about this, up and down the field while your offense is on the field in the middle of a playoff game, he's left you without an oar in the water, bro. You cannot risk that type of thing in a playoff game. You and I both know, man, if you're talking about winning a Super Bowl, you got to get there. And if this type of outburst happens throughout the playoffs, it's such a massive distraction. Plus all the media scrutiny that's going to happen coming into this organization, I would not be in favor of it. I don't care how good he is on the field.
I know you want to jump back in. I'm going to get you back in on the Cowboys. But first, I got to do this. I want to talk about Man in the Arena, presented in part by NerdWallet. Episode 8 streaming now, and in this installment, Brady talks about the motivation to prove doubters wrong.
Brady may be starting the slow slide, the slow decline at age 40.
Even the great Hank Aaron, he sort of fell off the cliff.
I was going into a really unprecedented time. I was going into being 40 years old.
Brady's about to hit the cliff like everyone else who's ever lived.
There was more talk about him falling off the cliff than his ability to perform. And that really drove us.
All right, well, I'll just go show them. I'll go prove them wrong again. They didn't learn their lesson last year, obviously, or they didn't learn their lesson the year before that, or they didn't learn the lesson the year before that.
Don't miss the latest episode of Man in the Arena, Tom Brady, streaming now on ESPN+. Well, as promised, coming up, Dak and the Cowboys offense struggling again. But is the biggest issue in Big D their head coach? We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, a little sneaky hembo time for Dan Graziano. Who played the most seasons for an NFL or MLB or NHL franchise in Pittsburgh? Up in the ante on Dan. Let's see if he can deliver.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back with you on Get Up and a little sneaky hembo time. Who played the most seasons for an NFL, MLB, NHL franchise in Pittsburgh? Dan Graziano, what say you?
Well, we know Roethlisberger's 18 years. We know it's not going to be him. That's going to be too easy. It's sneaky himbo. It's not obvious himbo. He throws the hockey in there to throw me off. He knows I don't really know hockey. It's possible there's a Pittsburgh Penguin that played a long time, and I'm going to miss this. But I believe I'm going to hit this out of the park like Willie Stargell, who I'm pretty sure played 21 years for the Pittsburgh Pirates and is the answer to this question.
Wow. Just what? I'm really impressed by you. It is Willie Stargell, 21 seasons, and you begin the new year shutting out Hembo. 1-0 lead. It's a streak. I think it's going to continue. We'll see. All right, let's talk about the game of the night last night. Brown Steelers, what a memory it is there. Ben Roethlisberger being recognized by fans and recognizing Diontae Johnson in the end zone for a touchdown. His 257th of his career at Heinz Field. Steelers up 7-0. Fourth quarter, T.J. Watt. Taking down Baker Mayfield for the fourth time. 4 sacks in the game, 21.5 on the season. With his family cheering on, Big Ben handing it off for a crucial first down right there to wrap up the game. And Najee Harris, who gets that, and then some touchdown. Roethlisberger celebrating as they go up 26-14, gets it one final time after a Baker interception, takes a knee for perhaps the last time on Heinz Field, reveling in the moment. Fans recognizing him, him recognizing him back, a couple high fives, an emotional moment on the bench. His family comes out, and then they walk off in the tunnel for perhaps the last time as the Steelers win it and stay in the playoff race. And by the way, Big Ben and Mike Tomlin have now won 135 regular season games together, tied for second most for quarterback coach duo in the Super Bowl era. There's little chance of them getting a first. They need 5 perfect 17-0 seasons to pass Brady and Belichick. Don't think that's happening. But what a stretch it's been for them. Let's play a little deal or big deal or no big deal, shall we? And start with Dominique Foxworth. Chiefs lost to the Bengals. Big deal or no big deal?
Oh, I think it's a big deal for the Bengals. I think the Bengals have been talking about how they are on the rise and talking about how they own their division. They were talking about this a few weeks ago. But I'm not sure that they believed it until they went in and knocked off the defending AFC champs. So I think it was a big deal for their morale going into the playoffs. And frankly, a big deal for how all of us view them and should view them going forward.
Absolutely. Jeff, Colts lost to the Raiders. Big deal or no big deal?
Ooh, both. It is a big deal. You can't lose to the Las Vegas Raiders. Can't have it. It is very obvious why they missed it, though. When you look at, there's basically 4 plays in this game that did not turn out the way they should. Carson Wentz has to be better, so I think it's a big deal you lose, but at least you know why. Just get it fixed for next week and make the playoffs.
Okay, Marcus, Cowboys lost to the Cardinals. Big deal or no big deal?
No big deal. Cardinals was coming off of a 3-game losing streak, playing highly motivated. Obviously, it's a big deal what Dallas offense is dealing with, but the team is in the playoffs. Like, they better get it fixed in the next week in order to get ready to try to make a run. 3 hours on game day, that's all you need in the playoffs. Whole season goes out of the window.
Good point. And by the way, the Cowboys could face these Cardinals in the playoffs. They currently sit 4th in the NFC. There's a 93% chance they end up as the 4th seed, according to ESPN's FPI. But they could still potentially get to the 2 seed. 6 of the 7 NFC playoff spots have been clinched, and only the 49ers and Saints are in the mix for the final spot. But I want to go back to the Cowboys, because what's going on with them is very interesting. We talk about their offensive problems, their defensive problems. But the head coach has been a situation this year. We've talked about his clock management. We've talked about his game management. And Mike Tannenbaum, I want to start with you. When you look at some of the issues they've had with the head coach, with the management of the timeouts, remember the play this weekend with the Cardinals and Edmonds on that fumble, can the Cowboys win a title with Mike McCarthy as head coach the way things are going right now?
They can, but they have to make changes. It is clock management 101 that when there's 2 minutes to go in the second and fourth quarter, until that time, you have to have at least one timeout for the exact situation we saw. And when you have a bad result like you did, you better change your process. So if I'm in the front office of the Dallas Cowboys, I'm sitting down with Mike McCarthy and saying, your clock management isn't working. We have to change it. It's a bad result. We got to change the process. Someone else has to help you. Because in a play like here, it's, again, it's clock management 101. You need to have one timeout in your pocket for a situation just like this. The playoffs are going to be so close, razor thin between winning and losing. You can't not have a timeout there. That's on the head coach, and it could prevent them from winning a title. So if I'm Coach McCarthy, I'm listening to my staff. I'm going to have another coach help me because so far it hasn't been good enough.
Yeah, it's okay to ask for help. And by the way, in that game, the Cowboys looked a little confused on defense. He ended up calling a timeout there. He didn't have a timeout to contest that situation you saw in that play right there, which basically cost him the game. So, Swagoo, when you look at this situation with Mike McCarthy, what do you think?
You can win a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy. I'm not, like, going that far. I can tell you a lot of other coaches I don't think you can win with. Judge accordingly. Listen, here's the thing, man. And two, like, when you guys think about that timeout, and they ran Prater and Kyler on the field. That's a timeout every time I'm in the league, especially when you're going into a special team situation. I get it that they're supposed to have one. But from a personnel standpoint, when they did that, and that was the point of emphasis during the game, is that you gotta either allow them to score 2 points or you got to use a timeout. Do what you will, deciding how you do it. The issue is the offense, y'all. Like, this Mike McCarthy, let's talk reality. Mike McCarthy, as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, are about to go to the playoffs with 11 wins, okay? Can they win a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy? Yes. This is about players, y'all. This is about players. I know Kellen Moore needs more creativity. I understand the clock issues and all of that. We could point to a lot of coaches that have made some bad decisions in regard to moving their team forward or having opportunities at the end of the game. The bottom line is this. Mike McCarthy's offense performs better. You don't have to use them damn timeouts. If they're not dealing with the issues that they were dealing with, Dak has to play better. Kellen Moore got to play better. They got to find sync on offense. We could talk about Mike McCarthy costing this team a Super Bowl. You know who costing them a Super Bowl? The damn offense. If they don't win one, that's going to be the issue because that's what's happening on the field.
But Swagoo, think about it this way, man. Mike McCarthy is an offensive head coach. Like, Kellen Moore calls the plays, but he's allowing Kellen Moore to get away with lack of creativity, lack of production, lack of explosive plays, lack of physicality. Like, at some point, it ain't just about the calls. It's not just about timeouts. It's about setting. And this is what he always does. He gets in front of the media and goes, hey, it's our identity. We have to be physical. We got to go through Zeke. We got to go through Pollard. We got to go do that. And then you call a run rate at 31st in the league. Like, his words and his actions don't meet up. That's part of the issue as well. So it is a head coaching issue. It's not just about timeouts, red flags, all that nonsense. It's about setting the tempo for your football team. And right now, he's not doing that. He's talking it, but he's not setting it.
Yeah, and so, yeah. Neek, we almost look at it like this in a way, right? We acknowledge that there's an issue with the clock management, but it's also, as Swag says, it's an offensive issue. So what role does Mike McCarthy and that game management issue play in this?
I mean, I think it plays a pretty big role because we've been talking about it all season. We said eventually it was going to jump up and bite them, and it has right now. I understand that all the things that you are saying, but the tough thing about scoring is you have a defense out there that's going to try to stop you. That isn't the same thing going on with clock management. It's you against you. Like, there's no excuse for that. I understand, like, sometimes they get paid too, and sometimes you're going to get stopped on offense. So, like, I understand what you guys are saying. We have to have higher expectations of their offense, but the head coach's responsibility is to put them in the best situation to win. And of course, Mike McCarthy can win a Super Bowl. He's done it before. However, he is hurting this team right now, and that falls directly under his purview. He cannot throw the ball. That's Dak's job. He's not the guy who's calling the plays. That's Kellen Moore's job. Do your job. And if all it takes is to run a kicker and a quarterback on the field at the same time to force you to burn the timeout, you're doing something wrong. Like, this isn't an unheard of scenario. You should be prepared for that.
Okay. I don't know how much you prepare for that. I'm gonna be honest with you. I play defense. I play PAT block. If they would have ran Kyler Murray out there with Bill Parcells, he'd have called the damn timeout in that situation.
You got time for Kingsbury. You got to give Kingsbury some credit. That was a great situation.
But here, look, I'm not here to defend Mike McCarthy. Let me put that out there. But what I will say, no, I'm not. Jeff, I'm as hard on him as anybody. What I will say this though, Mike McCarthy ain't have 4 holding penalties. guys. He ain't have false starts.
It's a good point.
He ain't have all of these things that happen as an offensive operation. And look, we could talk about coaching. We could talk about that. That's all a part of it. But y'all know execution come down to them 11 dudes on the field. And Dallas offense ain't doing it, bro. Even plays that's there. We just showed in the highlight. Dak overthrew a guy against the Washington football team. Mike McCarthy ain't had nothing to do with that. CeeDee Lamb running wide open in the middle of the field. There is a lot of issues right now with this offense, but I'm not going to put it on Mike McCarthy in this particular situation about not having a timeout in his back pocket.
Okay, I got to move on because we got another segment coming up. Mike Tannenbaum, thank you so much. We needed your insights today. That was invaluable. But Swagoo, I'm trying to give you time for your big moment of revenge on
y'all
Jeff.
Y'all don't need new security. You y'all need new security. Go for this it. Offense. I know some people in this league need security. Everybody ain't getting dumped around here. This long gone mother law. He needs a new security guard. They better find somebody quick. Athleticism is a trait of being a security guard. And when you don't have none, you get your quarterback killed by a little guy. Like when the big dude run up on one of the little dudes and then you find out he a damn MMA fighter and you get beat to sleep. You need new security.
Okay, Swag. The floor is yours. Take it away.
Y'all already know what time it is. And in my event, in my effort to get love from L. Duncan after this game, this is Trayvon Walker. This is what you call just man against boy. This is what you call my neck, my back, and my neck.
My back.
Trayvon Walker bent this man up and then went and tackled the back. Everybody talked about this offensive line. The O-line walked in there with shirt said, run the damn ball. Trayvon Walker said, you're going to need security after this and take your shirt off.
Torn it off.
Von Miller. Hey, somebody breathe on him or something, Jeff. Like, Jeff, you got to get with these offensive line. And then look at Von walk on the hot coals, man. Like, you got to touch the guy. I feel bad for Tyler Huntley right here. You need new security. Von Miller coming on,
yes,
y'all.
Sir.
This was a sack that kind of closed the window on the Ravens' chance.
Yep.
Von Miller told the Baltimore Ravens and Tyler Huntley, you need new security.
You need it.
At least touch him, man. And TJ Watt. TJ Watt said, okay, today is Ben's last game, and I'm going to go out here, and they not going to even put a tackle in the game to block me. TJ Watt didn't even see the dude. He was working pass rush moves like you do in practice just Saturday. Baker Mayfield, you need new security. Look at Baker back there like, golly, man, I thought Jeff Saturday said we had the best offensive line in the NFL. Hey, Baker, Cleveland, you need new security. TJ Watt got four sacks. This man need one sack to tie the record, bro. He got four sacks.
This the one thing I learned, Swagoo. We can't say his name, but we can say 66 gave up.
Yeah, don't name names. Just numbers or positions.
Help him.
And just leave it at the number, please. Well, coming up. Coming up once and for all, who is the MVP? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back, and let's talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, shall we, who are on a roll entering Week 18. Rodgers has Green Bay on a five-game win streak, and this past Sunday, the Packers clinched the number one seed in the NFC. Now, Rodgers leads the NFL in both touchdown and interception percentages this season. He'd be the first player to do that since, well, Aaron Rodgers last year. Since the NFL merger in 1970, the four quarterbacks that lead the NFL in both in a season have won the MVP that year. So I'm going to bring the guys back in and talk about this. Jeff Saturday, should Aaron Rodgers be a lock for the MVP?
No, sir. I still think it's Tom Brady. And listen, Tom Brady did it again this weekend in New York where they're down. AB's throwing a tantrum, doing topless jumping jacks throughout the end zone. He still comes back and puts his team and gives his team a victory. He's got 1,000 more yards this season than Aaron Rodgers. And listen, if you think about the Packers, they had a better defense for the majority of the year. They have a better running game. You've asked Tom Brady to do more than Aaron Rodgers, and he still performed at 44 years old. It's absolutely remarkable. I would give that thing to Tom Brady.
Ooh, it's a tight battle. Neek, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against Tom Brady, but I think what Aaron Rodgers has done for the entirety of the season, with the exception of week one, has been more impressive. I know that the numbers as far as yards don't match up, but I feel like that he's done more for them. And we're talking about Tom Brady's great comeback last weekend. They were down to the Jets. Yes. Like, Tom Brady was there for the 80% of the game prior to that, too. So, like, I don't see that happening to Aaron Rodgers. And you can point to that Cardinals game as probably one of the more impressive performances of Aaron Rodgers, where he didn't have all the weapons that you suggested, and they managed to cobble together a victory on defense and screen passes. So Aaron Rodgers, I think, has done something quite impressive this year. Back-to-back MVPs. You want to beat the champ, you got to beat the champ. And nobody, if you want to be the champ, you got to beat the champ. It doesn't feel like anybody's come and taken that MVP from Rodgers, in my opinion. Yeah.
Rodgers is still the odds-on favorite to win it, according to Vegas. Marcus, what do you think?
No need to go deep into it. Aaron Rodgers is the MVP. He's the most valuable player. We saw what the hell they looked like when he didn't play. He's the most valuable player on that football team. And when you think about where the Packers are sitting here with the one seed, this dude didn't even practice during the offseason. And he's out here with a 67% QBR. His team is 13-3. He's figured out ways to win games without his weapons. The one Dominique alluding to, he had none of his receivers. Not one. He had zero. And they went and beat Arizona when we thought Arizona was the best team in the NFL at the time. So I can't see a reason for him not being the most valuable player. I'm with Jeff. I think Tom has played out of his mind. But Tom has had more than Aaron has had, and I'm not even down on Aaron weapons. I think Aaron has enough, sufficient weapons to win a Super Bowl with. I'm not one of those guys thinking they needed to draft 15 receivers. But Tom did have the best of the best for a large majority of this season, especially weapons-wise, and we find Aaron Rodgers here in the one seed in the NFC.
Jeff, I go to you real quick, and then I want to get Dan for the final word.
No, I mean, listen, to argue against Aaron Rodgers, I understand the principle of what they're saying about how good he is, and I appreciate how good he's been. It's still 1,000 yards difference in yards. You're asking a 44-year-old person to throw it more than anybody else, be more accurate, score more touchdowns, outscore. You've had your defensive backfield decimated, so you're in track meets a lot of the time. You do not have the same running game that Green Bay has, and Leonard Fournette's been out, and you're still winning games. I appreciate Aaron Rodgers. Again, it's splitting hairs, but I think you got to go with Tom Brady because of the numbers of what he's posted.
Okay, Graz, you be our decider here. What do you got?
I would go with Rodgers narrowly over Brady. Look, the 4 interceptions against 35 touchdowns, if that stands out to me, if you want to talk about numbers, Brady's got 12, which isn't many, but 4 is none. I would love to be able to dock Aaron Rodgers because he missed a game, because he made a selfish decision not to get vaccinated and render himself potentially unavailable. That game didn't cost him. They still got the one seed, so I got to get that out of here. Brady's played every game. It's a close race, but I would give it to Rodgers right now if I were voting.
Yeah, both have been incredible this season, but it's hard not to give it to Aaron Rodgers and what he's doing.
Can't wait to see if Matt LaFleur going to be in the Coach of the Year conversation when Aaron playing in San Francisco.
No kidding. He should be.
Absolutely should be. That's interesting. All right.
About next season.
Can we talk about, though, this? Because the Packers, look like they're on top of the NFC. Who's the biggest threat to the Packers, you guys, in terms of winning the Super Bowl? Marcus, I'll start with you.
You got me? I got the Rams, Ryan. I got the Rams, and it's because of the inconsistency. And I know Matt Stafford is throwing interceptions. I get it. I understand it. But at least the Rams have shown the ability to be explosive. And then on the defensive side, which I don't think holistically they are better defensively than the Cowboys, but they got guys that can absolutely change games, and we saw two of them do it against the Baltimore Ravens this past weekend. The Rams
Graz,
right now because Dallas offense.
Okay. Graz, who's the biggest threat?
Swagoo, he's not, didn't you listen to Orlovsky? He's not actually throwing interceptions. We're imagining those. That there's no issue there with Stafford and turnovers. Serious. I think it's, they're winning the game. Look, I think if he can stop turning it over, the Rams are the answer. They have the most, the high-end talent, the explosiveness to compete with the Packers. I think the Packers are head and shoulders right now, better than anyone in the NFC. But if you're asking me for the best challenger, I think the Rams have the potential to be that.
If he can stop turning it over. Jeff, who's the biggest threat to the Packers winning the Super Bowl?
I'm going Tampa Bay. And listen, you know, Swagoo said it early in the show. You got 3 hours to prove who you are. Tom Brady's done it a whole lot. Todd Bowles has done it a lot as well. The defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's pieced this thing together so many times. I can't take that away from him. You're going to have to – you said it. Fox said it earlier. To be the champ, you got to beat the champ. They're still the champs. Let's see who can take them out.
Good point. Okay, Neek.
Yeah, well, a lot of those champs ain't there anymore, so I'm going to go with Dallas. I think the argument that you guys made for the Rams is a really good one, but it's for the same reasons I'm going with Dallas. It's that front. It's the ability to get after the passer and not have to blitz to do so. I think Dallas has that ability and the big playability on the back end. I think it's my faith in Dak is higher than my faith in Matthew Stafford, and I think that's what it comes down to. Despite the fact that he's not playing well right now, I think that team has a higher offensive upside and the same potential to get pressure with that front.
Dallas is more boom or bust than any team, it seems like, in the NFC at this point. All right, guys, thanks so much. Great job. Neek, Jeff, you're headed over to First Take. Appreciate you. And by the way, speaking of First Take, has Antonio Brown played his last game in the NFL? And has Tom Brady won his last Super Bowl? Join Charlie Arnone, Jeff, and Neek on First Take next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Big night on ESPN. LSU taking on Kansas State in the Tax Act. Texas Bowl. Our coverage starts at 9 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Well, it might be Big Ben's last game at Heinz Field, so it got us thinking about our team's time with Big Ben on the field. So let's take a look back at December 2012 and Big Ben. Who's taking him down? But Marcus Spears. Hey, Marcus, Big Ben needs new security.
Big Ben needed new security that day, baby. Them Cowboys got the dub. We were trash that season too, I think, y'all. But at least I got a sack on Ben.
There you have it. Give him a hand. First Take starts right now.